In a world, four friends, one mission.
Mikey, what are you doing?
I'm doing the thing for the podcast.
It's not that hard, bud.
Dude, just say the name.
Fine. It's the Freedom Friends Podcast.
I love it when you call me Senorita.
Back. That's an old one from you, dude. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Free Friends Podcast.
Jay and Silent fucking Bob.
Noich. That sound you're hearing right there, that is to the gentleman to my left wearing his sister's polo. That's Big Jim. Oh, yeah. He's back filling in for John, who...
I didn't know Baby Gap was still in business.
Well, John's not Jack here, but he's got enough time. He's got enough time to send me memes on Instagram right now. So I don't know what he's doing, but actually, he's still in Florida, right?
He's got Southwest Wi-Fi.
Probably on his way back.
Ah, yeah.
Southwest Wi-Fi, iPhone to iPhone. You can fucking send just about anything.
No, he's sending me via Instagram.
Same thing. You can use social media and iMessage or whatever.
iMessage, yeah.
I know, because I annoy the shit out of my wife when I fly Southwest. I'm just like,
what do you think I did yesterday? I flew Southwest.
I haven't told my wife about that feature because when I fly, I just sleep or watch a movie.
I'm usually a sleepy guy. Like, as soon as the door's
closed, I have a reason to shut my fucking phone down, I shut my fucking phone down.
Yeah.
I do a lot of the movie downloading.
Yeah. I do that for like on Netflix and shit.
I've got one of those obnoxious iPads.
Same. Yeah. I have the same.
That's like the size of my fucking MacBook.
Mm-hmm.
But I just set that up, and then the Pro. Yeah, like literally,
those are two MacBooks.
Never mind. I usually have my iPad here.
But they are literally
they're 13 inches. Yeah, and it's a fucking laptop.
Yeah, it's a fucking. And I even have the Magic Keyboard for it, so it's quite literally.
And I have the Magic Keyboard because you talked me into it. Because I have the exact same.
So worth
it. It's just a MacBook.
Oh, it's great.
It's a MacBook with a touch screen at that point, which just makes it better. But and then I sit there and fucking, I put my AirPods in and.
Shout out Netflix for allowing you to download movies and TV shows.
Fucking game changer, dude.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Game changer. Peacock does that too.
Yeah, I can download free media, but you can't use it on more than one address. Wait, what the?
Yeah.
Okay.
Weird.
Bass ackwards.
Well, super that way weird. You can't share. Yeah.
It's saved in my fucking iPad. Like, I know how to look into the files of my iPad and just be like, hey, look, I now own this fucking movie.
Yeah.
How do you think all the pirating happens?
Yar. Anyways, sponsors. Justin, hit it. Guys, it wouldn't be the Freedom Friends if we didn't talk about our number one sponsor, Warfighter Tobacco. Obviously, you guys have seen us all smoke them. We're here to talk about a quality product that everybody can enjoy. The great equalizer, as we've called it, the Warfighter Tobacco Stick. And it's not just cigars. They've got humidors, travel humidors, cutters, lighters, everything you need to get started on that journey. Check out warfightertobacco.com and use that code FTFO. Score yourself that sweet, sweet 15%. If you want to know my personal favorite, I'm a 762 Field guy. I like that Sumatra, real nice and even keeled cigar. Great for us beginner smokers, right? And I'm told that these taste even better when you're listening to the Freedom Friends Podcast. Now, back to the show. This episode is brought to you by Grill Your Ass Off. It's no secret. We're all middle-aged dudes who love barbecue. Grill Your Ass Off is our main go-to for our spices. That's what we use, man. Whether you're doing burgers on the grill, steaks, or my personal favorite, a little bit of pork belly burnt ends, right? They've got you covered on all of that. They also have salsas. They also have seasonings and spices. They got beer salts. They've got everything, man. Check them out. grillyourassoff.com/freedomfriendspodcast or use the code freedomfriendspodcast at checkout.
Did you ever introduce Jim or did we get sidetracked?
No, we got it.
Oh, we got it.
Yeah.
I got sidetracked.
They all know Jim.
Sorry.
Jim's been on here. Yeah. What is this? Like your 30th time here?
I'm an A-list villain.
You're an A-list villain.
You're probably at least double digits.
Yeah, you've probably been on here at least 10 times.
Nine and a half.
Someone will let us know in the comments.
Funny guy. I'm going to fucking choke him with this fucking sweater over there.
Oh, fuck.
He's going to throw the forensics officer all the way off. And it's like, we think they're finger marks, but... there's not enough. It was a grizzly bear. Is that a flipper?
That's a dew claw.
Murdered by a marmot.
Fuck him. Jesus Christ.
You know the funny thing is,
sloth.
if the podcast wasn't rolling, we would never be this brutal to each other.
No, we were just all like complimenting each other.
Really, yeah, yeah. Really nice, yeah, I know. Ago. But as soon as the podcast turns on, like,
fuck you.
Fuck all of you. Pieces of shit. Oh, man.
What were you talking about? Oh, right. It's Jim here.
I had mentioned before the show that I'm not drinking.
You did. Because
you are right, though. That tequila is not fucking bad.
It's not bad.
Tequila. It's not bad.
But I did get given do I have a face that says, give me moonshine?
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Like, is that it? Like, I would, every fucking where I go.
I wouldn't drink that.
But you have a face that says, give me moonshine. Yeah.
This was made by my buddy Jim. Not this Jim, another Jim, who is actually a Beirut Marine.
Wow.
Yeah. Older gentleman out of Baltimore.
When did that happen? 91?
83. 83. Yeah. Yeah. He's an older guy. He told me that it's the best batch he's ever made. Nice. So I was
really, because that looks like somebody forgot that in the back of a painting.
No, that's how.
Well, now granted, it also flew in my bag, so that probably got a little mixed up. But
that looks how
you could probably you could probably strain it.
I'd pour it through like a coffee filter.
Yeah,
no, you just eat the peaches.
Nah, there's more
apples. Those are apples, right?
Those are peaches.
Peaches.
Oh,
it's peaches.
I thought it was apple.
No, cinnamon. There's like pulp and shit in there, and there's cinnamon on the I don't know.
Yeah, but I did say I would bring it into the boys. He does listen to the show, and
I feel like since you're being a bitch today and not drinking, that we should save this for when you can also join us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll set it aside for tonight.
Yeah, you can call me a bitch all you want.
I mean, you drank on Sunday. It's now Tuesday.
I didn't just drink on Sunday. Okay. I drowned myself in booze.
It's an Irish wake, man. He's fucking...
Dude, he's Jewish, which I think made it worse. Okay, like, holy fuck.
Speaking of homemade, though, our friend Jim over at Second Pitch is going to come by. I have to buy like $55 worth of stuff to be able to make mead in my kitchen.
Wow.
And I was like,
okay,
done.
Yeah.
I was like, what do I need? And he's like, you need a glass carboy and one of those little bubblers, and I'll show you how to make mead and it'll be perfect. And I was like,
nice.
Fucking A. And he was like, yeah. He's like, beer is high chemistry compared to making mead. And I was like, well, yeah.
I know there's a dude on
TikTok. Look at the culture it came from.
There's a dude I saw on TikTok that makes mead out of like Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper and shit like that.
That dude is a psycho.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
There's a bunch of guys that make mead on TikTok and shit like that. But there's some stuff like we talked about it on the other podcast when we were talking about making mead and like why people make it. And it looks like ass in the bottle, like why it looks horrible and it tastes all bitter and like terrible. And it's because they go and they're like, oh, I'm going to make raspberry mead. And so they go to the grocery store and then they buy the little thing of raspberries and they just like dump it in there. Well, there's all sorts of other shit like in those raspberries. And they're not like thoroughly cleaning it and getting rid of all. And there's still stems and little seeds and all that shit. Well, the yeast that you use for it like reacts really poorly with that shit. And then you get it ferments stuff that's not like pure sugar.
Yeah.
So it tastes awful. And so he was telling me about this. You can go and get this like all of the organic like purees where they've already filtered everything out and it's just like the meat of the fruit.
Right.
And
then that's the way to do it. That makes sense.
And then you end up with this all that sweet, like the stuff that we all had at Ren Faire, all the sweet, like really easy to drink stuff. He's like, yeah. He's like, and it's actually cheaper than buying the full.
Scary easy to drink.
And I was like,
Nice.
Right. So if I show up here with like a case of mead,
please do.
Yeah.
I like mead.
Yeah, you won't get a lot of pushback on that one, man.
Mead, awesome.
You know, I haven't drank enough mead in my life to know, though.
No, just stop there. Stop right there.
Because
I've had a lot of mead and I have not drank enough mead in my life.
Does it give you a hangover? Like it gives me, like beer gives me a hangover.
Because it's sugar based.
But here's why. The sheer quantity you go through.
Yeah.
It's like rum. Good. It gives you a hangover similar to rum.
The mead is just good. Mead is so dangerously easy to drink. Yeah. Because you even like just straight honey mead is just it's kind of apple juicy.
The place we went to your birthday like 2 years ago, Jim, right there in New Braunfels, they have that. Yes. They have that.
bitter, and that
it's a little bit bitter, but it's a blackberry mead.
Yeah,
fucking tits.
It was good.
That place is solid.
What is that place?
Guadalupe Beer Company.
Well, that's what it is.
Guadalupe Beer Company. Yeah, they do it. They have that raspberry mead. That was good.
I mean, I don't think it held a candle to the shit we had at Ren Faire.
Well, no, but that's Guadalupe Beer Company. You introduced me to them, and I talked to them because we were going to try and carry their mead in the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And then
maybe, they were the only ones that like.
Maybe your wife sent me the contact info.
Yeah.
Either way, one of them sent me the contact info for over there. Because your birthday had happened, and I had the store. And I think one of you talked to them about like, hey, my buddy's got this bar and mead would be perfect. And I talked to him, but I can't carry mead because mead in the state of Texas is classified as wine. Mm. And I don't have a wine license.
I thought it was beer and wine.
I thought beer and wine was wine.
But so it's, I have what's called a BE license, which is a malt beverage license, which is beer only.
That's the first one.
And then the next one is a BG license, and that allows you to carry beer and wine.
How much more is that, though?
It's because you said 1,200 more to the state.
Yeah, that's right.
And then whatever increase you pay to the state, you also pay to the county and the city annually.
What a fucking
racket. That's why you didn't do it. We talked. We had a long conversation about that.
Well, because when I got my beer license,
because you in your store, there's probably not a big wine.
But there would be for fucking
Rush with me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you'd fucking murder.
Yeah, you'd probably make that up in a weekend.
But to be honest with you, now I'm at the point like looking at the way my people drink. If I started handing them stuff that was at 16, 17, 18% and they hang on there for 12 hours during a tournament and they're handing that, like, I don't need to deal with
that much.
Yeah, it's wine.
Because
yeah, like, you're getting to 13, 15, 17%.
Like, I started drinking a couple 8%ers, right?
Yeah.
They fucking sneak up on you.
Yeah. Oh, fuck yeah.
Like the hardest fuck seltzers, like they snuck up on me. Yeah. And then Smirnoff has like these crush flavors, right? In the big fucking cans. I'll drink a can of that and I'll feel it.
Yeah. Well, I've got one that I sell in the bar from Independence that's 9%.
Yeah.
And they sell it in a pint can. So it's bigger than this. It's a 1-pint can. Yeah. And you'll see the guys that'll be sitting there drinking, and all of a sudden you look at them and they're like, the fuck? I only had one beer. I'm like,
so how much is mead? What's the percentage?
Oh, it can go all the way up to like what, 18 or some shit?
Yeah, it can get up to 18%.
Damn. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, because it's like mead, and then the next thing would be brandy wine, right?
Yeah,
like,
fortified wines. Yeah. You're getting into port, brandy wine, stuff like that. Well, the beer we had made for us was 17%.
On paper. Allegedly. I challenge that. Fucking.
I have lab paperwork saying it was 17%.
If the state asks.
It was 17%. So when we sent it to the lab, we were told it was 17%, and it had the sugar content available for another 5 to 6 points. And I will tell you right now that 3 weeks later, we finally added champagne yeast to it to stop the... We had to dry it out. It was like, okay, this is we're making rocket fuel. Like, we need to...
You start your car with a beer. That's gnarly. That is something else.
It was good, but it does work.
Yeah.
Because I think you had a glass of it and we're like.
After I almost had diabetes.
Because it's sweet.
It's awfully rich.
Yeah.
A little rich.
Tasted
but
good though.
Tasted fucking wonderful. Tastes like a Biscoff cookie. It was fucking delicious.
So Jazz and I are drinking tequila.
You guys got some. Some fancy.
Añejo. I am too gringo tequila, for this name.
Corralejo.
Corralejo. Yeah.
99,000 horas, which is 99,000 hours.
And this was dropped off by Miguel, one of the show fans.
Yeah, 99,000 hours. It's an añejo, so it's aged at least a year.
Dude, Miguel's a good kid.
Yeah. Miguel is a good kid.
He's a friggin' good kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every now and then he brings me deep fried Oreos.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate.
Yeah, he and his cousins come by the store.
He brought me a little wooden 1911 he picked up at the air show.
Oh, cool.
It was kind of awesome.
Oh, he's a good kid. Yeah. He's like it a lot. Big fan of the show.
Yeah, good dude, too.
And that's how he found my store and then started gaming in there. Like he it started with the show. He was not a gamer before he found my store.
Oh, nice.
He started as a fan of the show and then...
He used to volunteer with Hero Sports for me, too.
Oh, cool.
Like, help me out with some events and
stuff. Yeah. What a good dude.
So now he and his...
He drives a Ford fucking Ranger. His name's Miguel.
Like, right? Like fucking A.
He's my favorite little Mexican.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest.
That still is one of my favorite pieces of micro content that Justin has ever made. When we're all sitting there and all of us are like, the fuck? And this dude just walks in with a cowboy hat and a rifle.
Yeah.
It was that day. We're like, what the fuck is this? What's going on right now?
So he had us autograph his rifle, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then one day he came in and he brought me a squirt gun or an airsoft gun.
Nerf gun.
He brought me a Nerf gun.
That he autographed.
No, I made him. I'm like, hey, motherfucker, autograph this. It's only fair.
Fuck Miguel. Do you remember what the Nerf gun was for?
I do not.
It was so you could finally shoot Jazz.
Yeah, so you could shoot Jazz in the face.
It was after that one episode.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he was watching in the peanut gallery during that
episode.
That's
right.
Yeah. That's
right. Jazz, he also brought you a dope fucking hat.
My peacock hat. So
that's right.
He brought my wife and I. Well, remember when I went on that big thing about I like the Catholic Church because their entire rank structure is based on the size of their hat. And I think that everything should be based on this concept. So he brought me this cowboy hat that had fucking, apparently his uncle has a peacock farm. And he brought me this hat and the feathers on it have to be.
I've seen it. Like it's
two
not
and a half
small.
Feet long.
It's not small.
Peacock big.
And he made the hat. And made one for my wife too, and brought us each these cowboy hats that have these huge peacock feathers on them.
Well, I do apologize to Miguel because he brought us this bottle. Oh, fuck, 6 months ago.
Oh, really?
It's been here that long?
It has.
It's good.
And I just overlooked it because it's kind of a weird bottle. It's cool.
But there's so many whiskeys, so this is a good way to.
Yeah, but I mean, we drink tequila on the show. I drink tequila on the show quite a bit, but. Yeah, I cracked it open the other day, and I'll be damned, it's good.
Well, yeah.
What about two for another bottle? I need to go pick up some more Herradura.
Yeah.
What are you drinking here, Jim? You got some pink stuff.
It's margarita mix. It's awful, but I got a train tomorrow, so I don't want to get too. It's a school night.
Yeah, school night. Yeah.
Shirley Temple.
Yeah. I am drinking Hoist. Hydration. IV level hydration. Battlefield tested, warfighter approved. Go to drinkhoist.com.
If you couldn't, we can't bag him, so that's the fucking best, next best.
I would love to get a bag on the show. Just sit here. I would actually drink if I could sit here and get a bag.
That plug was awful.
So I'm not sponsored by them no longer.
Please don't ever do that again. That was terrible.
I had to go to a funeral in Baltimore this weekend. So it was weird. I was flying out Friday anyways, and then my oil and gas side gig called me on Monday, and they were like, hey, can you go to New Jersey this week? And I was like, can you fly me to BWI and out of BWI the following Monday? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So I got my flight paid for.
Nice.
So I get to BWI on Wednesday last week.
How far? I mean, it's
like a 3 hour drive.
So it's like four states away.
Yes, but it's
it is for but
because it's Maryland, the tail end of New York.
Nah, I went Maryland, Delaware, a little bit of PA, and then into Jersey.
Yeah. That's the thing is that like
four states away, 3 hours.
Because you're Midwest, which is still like the further you move west, the bigger and bigger the borders get. Like but if you live in Texas long enough.
Like that's, and we I drove
like,
to Houston.
Oh, it's 4 hours away. And it's like, I'll say you either you drove to Austin and sat in traffic or you made it to Houston.
Right. Yeah.
And then, but 3 hours in the Atlantic.
You see a lot.
In like New England, mid-Atlantic or whatever. Yeah. And it's like.
We flew into Logan, took my wife up there. She's like, what the fuck? We're in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. Now we're in Vermont.
Like, yeah. Quick,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Quickly.
Yeah.
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 Well, that's like when even in North Carolina. So I lived in the Triad, North Carolina. And I was 4 hours from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I lived like North Carolina, and I was 4 hours away from being in Atlanta.
And to be fair, BWI, I was by Newark. I was up by Newark because I had to work.
Yeah.
So like BWI to that as the, like without traffic, 2.5 hours. With traffic, it was 3. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so.
I was at a Primo in New Jersey, and we fucked around and got like, we were trying to find a movie theater.
And we got a Dick's?
And, huh? Yeah, I was at Dick's.
Dick's.
Yeah.
And, well, because PSYOP likes to go to Dick's because they have that training company that's up there.
Fort Dick's.
where they bring in all those actors and like do the fake country and all.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A buddy of mine, a double amputee buddy of mine, works there.
Yeah,
and he's one of those. It's great.
That company that comes in and does that immersion training up there is fucking. They're phenomenal.
Yeah, and they take that fucking role serious.
Yeah,
we're gonna give them PTSD in training.
No, they
fucking try.
Yeah. They pushed. They also know what the sound of a bolt slamming home sounds like, and that'll back a crowd up. But no, we were trying to find a fucking movie theater because I was up there, and I think Kung Fu Panda 2 was coming out. We were like, fuck it. We're all going to go see fucking Kung Fu Panda. So we're trying to find this movie theater. And we like accidentally ended up in Philadelphia. Like all of a sudden we were just like, how the fuck are we in Philly?
Not fucking
and, like, and
it's
it was,
not that far though.
It's not. But it was like, we like took a wrong left, went over a bridge and we're in Philly. And
hour,
we were like.
An hour and 15 minutes to the link, I think.
Yeah.
Because I flew into Philly when I was up Dick's for like a fucking month.
Yeah
about that.
That place.
And then I had to tell everybody we had to turn around because I was the NCO in the car. And I was like, technically weren't supposed to leave whatever that little town is outside of Fort Dix.
Yeah.
And there's like stellar German restaurant there though.
A lot the of food's pizza. Great, man.
There's a lot of good pizza joints up there.
Anyway, we have distracted you long enough about the funeral story.
Oh yeah. So I had to go up there and I do this thing in Jersey. But what before that, my rental car, I want to talk about my rental car. Cause I have to have a four wheel drive when I do these jobs was a 2024 hybrid F-150.
Yeah.
700 miles per tank.
Wow, that's 20 more than my V8 got.
Like, so a hybrid.
It was F1. Fully loaded and gorgeous, man. I actually really enjoyed it. I didn't think I was going to. I was like, this thing's fucking wonderful.
I'm not going to lie.
Like, they're
ride,
quick, right?
The ride in an Dude, F-150.
Like, I'm cruising.
Next level.
I'm hitting triple digits on 95, and I'm like, wow. Which is really illegal there because 55 is the fucking speed limit. Get your shit together, East Coast. The rest of us are going 75 here normally. That's our slow lane, right?
Yeah.
Like, and so like you cannot drive like you're a Texan in that part of the country.
You can't drive like a Texan in any part of the country.
That's true.
Dude.
To be fair, though, the fuckers will get out of your the left lane. They will fucking get out of your
lane. Oh, yeah, they'll move.
It's fucking great.
Then you get to Central America, and it's 60 kilometers per hour. And you're like, oh, my God.
That's 46 miles
an hour. Yeah. Fucking stupid.
In all fairness, most of the vehicles in Central America, and you think about 46 miles an hour, and you're kind of rolling the dice.
I was supposed to do that job until Friday morning, right? We finished at Thursday morning at like 9:30 and they're like, all right, we're just going to send everybody home. And I'm like, well, what about me? And they're like, just go back to Baltimore and whatever. And just turn. I was like, well, when do I need to turn his truck in? They're like, well,
you leave
whenever,
there, right?
Whenever you turn your turn, whenever you were going to pick up your other rental car. Cause I had another rental car for my trip. Right. And I was like, okay, cool. Which means I kept it until Friday.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right. So I go to pick up my rental car on Friday and, They're like spot 260. I'm like, okay, thanks, Hertz. So I walked up to spot 260 and there's two Asian people sitting in my car. And I'm like, hey man, to like the guy sitting there. I was like, I think they're in my car. And he looks at my thing and I go, it's 260. And he goes, that's 260. And I was like, I have 260. He's like, they're in 260. I'm like, thank you. I'm like, am I saying it wrong? I like showed him the thing and he looks at me and he goes, fuck. And he signs a thing and he goes, you tell him. So his name is Cruz. He's like, you tell him Cruz said this, da da da. Take 261. I look over. Brand new 2024 fucking Tahoe. And I'm like,
fuck yeah,
fully fucking loaded. I'm like, I could have the GMC Acadia or that.
Yeah.
This'll do. So I got hooked the fuck up on rental cars this trip.
But the last rental car I had was a new Range Rover Defender and it had 18 Ooh. Miles on it.
Where the fuck did you
fucking get
it? It was fucking sweet. We went to Virginia to Goshen's shop.
Yeah.
And we got a fucking Range Rover Defender.
You flying a Reagan?
Yeah, I think so. And it was sweet. It's a cool little SUV. Yeah. I was really pleased with it.
And you got it young enough that it still ran
18 miles
before it had to go through $1 billion in fucking cost of maintenance.
The electrical system shit the bed.
Yeah. I don't get it. The best era for Range Rover was when Ford had them. That's when they actually worked. And then they
Yeah.
It was like for like 2 years. It's when, because
late 80s or
Ford bought
early 90s.
Ford owned Jaguar, Range Rover, and all those for like 3 years. Yeah.
Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
That was the only time they were reliable. And then they went right back to like, hey, let's sell a $100,000 vehicle that's not going to turn on in about three minutes. You
probably turn on the radio and the windshield wipers go.
Yeah.
Or the Land Rover that had the adjustable air suspension in the back.
Yeah.
And at about the 5,000 mile mark, the bladders would go out. So the whole back end would just go.
That was like.
And the, just sit there and just roll like it had a Carolina squad on it.
What was the fucking car? The Ford. Fuck. All of them in the early 90s. It was like a four-door luxury type car.
From Ford?
Maybe a Lincoln.
Oh, was it a Lincoln? So
all the airbags would go out, and you'd see it looked like there was a low ride in.
Yeah,
and
it's just the Lincoln. Suspension went out.
Yeah.
So Ford began acquiring Land Rover in 2000, then finished the acquisition in 2005, and then sold them in 2008. So they owned them.
Wow.
They owned them
in the 90s for some reason.
Shorter than it took them to buy them.
Yeah. So they owned it. Like I said, they owned it for like 3 years.
Does it say how much money they made?
That's another.
Well, that's also when like the XKR came out and all that stuff. We, like, because Ford essentially got a hold of them and was like, "Let's make Jaguar sexy."
Yeah,
and like,
yeah. So Dodge, right? Like, specifically the Ram pickups. When Stellantis bought them. Boy, did they make them look better! They made the interiors look better.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, they did. It did great.
Yeah, but the engineering sucks.
The customer service,
was
horrendous.
The best era ever for the Chrysler brand was when it was Daimler Chrysler, when Mercedes had them.
Mercedes had them.
Because that's when I had my Grand Cherokee.
Yeah.
I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee. And you could tell Mercedes had gotten a hold of that thing. Because you like opened it up and it was like triple tone leather. And like the,
when you close the door, it's chick-chunk.
Yeah.
It's and like that's fucking that Mercedes feel.
And that's also when they decided they were going to stuff Hemis into the fucking Grand Cherokees and shit. And I was then when I was a rep for the cigar industry, that was my over the road car, was because my company paid for it. They were like, here's your max payment per month that we'll cover. So I went to Jeep and I was like, I have this much a month. And they were like, oh, sir.
Right, sir.
I was like, fuck yes. And but man, I loved that thing.
Speaking of Mercedes, this morning I had to meet up with our buddy Logan Stark.
Oh, really?
I had all his parachutes for the Normandy jump, so for the Black Rifle guys. So.
How's that piece of shit doing?
He's good. We shot some shotguns this morning because I met him out at the range.
Nice.
And but he pulls up in a Benz, and I'm like, fuck you. And he's like, it's my grandma car. And I'm like, okay.
I could take it. Yeah. I mean, granted, it just depends on what Benz it is, but still.
So there's a couple shout-outs I need to give.
But he lives in Utah now, right?
Logan. No, he's still here. I think.
Oh, is he?
No. I think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he's still here.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think he's in Utah.
He's got a baby on the way. He's really excited about it. Yeah.
Fuck, he should be.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He'll be a good dad.
I think so. Yeah, I think he'll be great. He's excited about it, man. He's like, it's taken up pretty much all my time. And I was like, yeah, that's how that works. Get used to that. But a big fan of the show and a big fan of Horse Soldier Bourbon and a guy that I jump with out there, Tracy Lingle, started a barbecue channel. It's called My Chow Line on YouTube, right? And what he's doing is he's doing like these barbecue, like, you know, dishes, and he's telling like a military story, like a different veteran story. Matter of fact, he smokes a warfighter in every single episode.
Oh, no shit.
Yes. He's a good fucking dude. He's like our chow guy.
I definitely know the name because he orders a lot.
Yeah. Big fan of the product, man. Very, very big fan. But his episode that's coming out this week is about me. He'd asked me, he's like, hey, do you have any?
What kind of gay meal would he eat?
He did burnt ends for me. he had asked me to tell him a story about food. And I told him the story. And I don't want to take away from his channel. So I encourage you to go see the story on his channel. I think it comes out Friday or something. But so by the time this comes out, I think it'll already be up. I wanted to shout him out. And I brought you guys something. Now, John's not here. And Jim, I didn't know you were going to be here, buddy. But you guys have heard me talk about the Americana, the bar that I used to work at.
Yeah.
Well, I was at the funeral for my buddy Jake, who also worked with me at the Americana. And the former owner of the Americana was there, Alex, right? Alex wrote a book recently. It's called Oh, So You're a Veteran, Get Over It or something. Get over it and do something else or some shit. It's a good book. It's a good read. But
hell, I couldn't have titled that better.
You probably really, really enjoy it. It's kind of shitting on the entitlement.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm there for it. But I'd asked him, I was like, hey, can you grab me some of the old Americana coins that had the army on it? So I brought you guys Americana army coins. So for you, for you. I have one for John, and I got one for you, pal.
Nice.
You know what's tough about this? I need a new ball marker.
There you go.
And this will be fucking.
Yeah, it's a good one.
That'll be perfect.
Yeah.
I'm going to play golf this Sunday, and I'm fucking hyped because I'm going to play a course I've never been on.
Which one?
We're going to play the Bandit on.
Ooh, it's nice. Yeah. I played it once. It's great. I was dog shit. It was one of the worst rounds of golf I've ever had.
Well, I promised Justin for his birthday that I would either take him wherever he wanted to go for dinner, or Justin's been recently getting into golf, or I would take him, and I was like, I'll
buy
you. I
didn't know this.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I'm using your old clubs that you gave to Warfighter.
What the fuck, man?
And and I was like,
I was wondering where those went.
Yeah. He's been getting into golf. And I've not missed him. Hey, I'll either. All of us have enough fucking stuff.
That driver's fucking awesome.
I was like, all of us have enough stuff. Like, everybody has things and stuff and sure. Shit just crammed in closets and corners and things and what. Blah.
Plus, my house is even more crowded now.
Yeah. You're having to give up other space because you're. Having to put more people in.
Yeah.
Like that tracks, right?
It's funny how the smaller the person, the more shit they take.
Well, he's calling me going like, hey, do you want this fucking thing? And I'm like, God damn it. And so he had one thing. And I was like, that thing I can actually use. The rest of it, yeah, fucking Goodwill. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But we're going to play. And so, but I promised Justin, I was like, I'll take you out to eat wherever you want to eat, or I'll buy you a round of golf. We'll go play golf together. And, like, I'll take you to do an event.
Well, he eats like a fucking 10-year-old at Whataburger every day, so he doesn't want food. Yeah. He'd rather,
Can you take me to the gas station?
And so it happened to work out that my really good buddy.
Need some Slim Jim.
Some Gushers.
just show up with a fucking, show up with a patty melt from Whataburger and be like, it's like happy, happy birthday.
He's the happiest guy ever. Yeah. Actually, I believe you're the sweet and spicy guy.
I am
right?
A sweet and spicy
guy. And honestly, it's been so long since I've been at Whataburger, I forgot the menu. And I haven't eaten there since they sold.
Really?
Yeah, since they're not.
Only Texas. Thing they have is the breakfast burger.
Since
I disagree. I'm with Justin on this. I'll eat the fuck out of it. It's good.
Yeah, now that they're not Texas owned anymore, I stopped eating there. Because they sold to that company in Chicago.
Yeah, they did.
But, and then my buddy called me and was like, yeah, I booked us a tea time at the Bandit on this day. And I was like, okay, well, lock up the fourth slot and I'm going to pay for my brother to play with us. So yeah, we're going to take him to the Bandit, which is, she a big girl. I think she's like 6,900 yards or something like that total.
Big girl. Is there a par six on that one?
No, but there is a 560 yard par five.
So there's a par five. That should be a par six.
It's
got
it's a monster.
I'm going to play it like we'd it's a par 12 day.
Yeah. It's a par 10 for me. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I've been golfing more and more.
Lately. I haven't golfed since the last time we went golfing. Yes. No, I take that back.
I have as well.
How's your golf grip, Jim?
We did the Catholic.
Like, how do you? That
was
your
the veteran
like
tournament
that
we found out was not a veteran tournament.
The thing is, it doesn't
matter
because I'm not good.
Like, how do you?
I swing
if you don't have.
There's none of that.
I don't interlock.
I couldn't interlock if I wanted to. I wouldn't even know what that is. That's a fucking term I'm not familiar with, my friend.
There's essentially three golf grips.
I don't want to know.
And one of them is
going to continue to suck.
One of them is this, and it's supposed to help you keep alignment, but sure. It's
the baseball.
If you swing it like between a baseball bat and a fucking hockey club, you really don't really, it doesn't matter.
Hockey stick actually works.
Oh, it absolutely does. Yeah. That's usually where I devolve.
Hockey stick works. Baseball swing, not so much.
Baseball swing, 1 out of 10. It'll work.
It was the problem when I started teaching Caitlin because she played softball.
Same with me. So when I started learning.
She tried to fucking swing it like a softball bat. And I was like, that's.
Well, like, I always got taught, you know, keep your fucking elbow high. Well, in this one, you don't use that elbow at all. It's fucking down, man. It's like, you know, it's completely fucking different. So.
Yeah. So. That's a different swing. Nothing about a golf swing makes sense. I love how it was like, find your natural swing. I'm like, you're moving on three planes at the same time. There's nothing natural about this.
Yeah.
Like, this is a game where we figured out that, hey, let's make our body do everything it's not supposed to do at the same time.
That's why fucking tire's all broken.
That would be a car wreck, sir.
He was fucking broken before that car wreck.
Or his fucking ex-wife's fucking swinging.
Also,
shit
you
at
can't,
him.
Yeah, you get attacked by a golf club.
That was a terrible fucking mugshot, man. All fucked up, lumped up and shit.
My Buick.
You piece of shit.
Waffle House waitress.
I like how she fucked up his Buick. I was like, you know, out of all the car companies to sponsor you, you're Tiger fucking Woods and you got Buick.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I'm like, I just watched the Masters And
there's not been a Buick, besides the Grand National, there's not been a Buick that's broken 55 miles an hour ever made.
The Skylark.
Still,
it's like
I've never seen one go 55.
I just watched the Masters, and I don't have cable, so I streamed it on Paramount because they were showing it. And the featured pairing in the morning of the final day was Tiger, and the Tiger did horrible at the Masters. It was him and the
something Shipley.
The high amateur. So this guy named Shipley who fucking kicked Tiger's ass. It was bad.
He played really good.
Yeah. And it was that, but I watched all 4 days of the Masters, and because I streamed it, there was only two commercials for the whole fucking thing. And it was either Mercedes-Benz or Rolex.
Tracks.
And all of the Mercedes-Benz ads were like the AMG electric one. That they were like, this is the fastest AMG SUV ever made. Or it was their Maybach. Or like, whenever it was just like, so we know Mercedes loves to advertise with the PGA.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get that sponsorship. You got fucking Buick. Yeah. Like that was like,
the LeSabre. Come on.
I don't even think I could tell you a current Buick.
Oh,
there are no, well, there's.
Did it go under? I don't even
know. No, they're around. No, but they make like these weird little crossover SUVs now.
Yeah, everybody's
what the fuck Rendezvous. Everybody's the Buick Rendezvous. Is that one?
That was the one that looked like the Pontiac Aztec, and I think they got rid of that.
The Pontiac Aztec. quite arguably the ugliest fucking thing ever made.
The worst.
I think it went up you.
Dude, it looked like it looked like it was made out of Lego.
It had a built-in tent.
Yeah. It was fucking weird, man.
The Marker XR4 Ti.
Yeah, that was weird too.
The Merker. I saw one of those.
What the fuck?
At the Forum. And it was this dude, and he had it all cammed out and shit, and he was rolling it through the Forum, and this thing was just chugga 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 chugga.
It's the first car I fucking ever drove. My cousin had one.
Look at this, the 2024.
Yeah, it's all crossovers.
There is eight cars on the screen, and I can't tell you they're all difference.
They are all hatchbacks. Every single one of them is hatchback.
Well, I think that's do they make cars yet too, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's really making
view all inventory.
No fucking way. Well,
yeah.
It's like Ford doesn't make cars anymore either. Ford makes trucks and the Mustang.
The Mustang.
And that's it.
But the Mustang is the only
really
car.
They don't make
the only car anymore. It's the only non-truck chassis. Yeah.
There's no Taurus anymore.
The funny thing is you can barely tell the difference between any of these.
It's the lights. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. It's just, all it does is it goes from the Invista
to the first ever Invista.
And it literally just changes. It's just a little bit. Slightly bigger.
Yeah, it's literally like trim styles.
Yeah, you know what it almost looks like? Well, it's like Subaru.
Yeah,
Subaru. Like the Subaru, the Forester looks exactly like an Outback, just a little different size.
Yeah. Even their big SUV just looks like an Outback fucking grew up.
Well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, shit.
People when we were car shopping,
I mean, lesbians are gonna pay for them anyways. It's
when
fine.
We were car shopping. Caitlin wanted to go look at the big Subaru SUV.
Yeah,
so we went and looked at it. And we looked at it, didn't drive it at all. But they had the brand new WRX STI sitting there. And I was talking to the guy and I was like, I want to drive this thing. And he's like, fuck yeah, dude, but let's go get the good one. And we went out driving on it. And it was actually whatever this road's called.
1518.
We got on this thing and he was like, there's never any cop. And I was like, no, I know where the one cop sits. So I'll slow it down there.
He's a fucking liar. There's always cops on this road.
And he literally told me, and he was like, they don't track these things. Just let it rip. And I fucking just hammered on that thing. And I found where the boost limiter was on it.
Yeah?
Yeah. Fucking cool little car. If we didn't actually have to move stuff around, I might have bought that fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for the it's fun. Stuff for the fast lesbians.
But then I saw that new, the Lexus RC350F.
Dude, that one looks good. That's good. Look up the new Lexus.
The Lexus RC350. No, that's the two-door.
Oh, have you seen the new big SUV?
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
The off-road.
The Lexus RC350F is this fucking.
It's long, right?
No, it's like the size of an M3.
Oh, okay.
It's like their little two-door fucking. But then if you look at the spec sheet on that fucking thing, and oh my God. It'd kill me.
The new,
but I'd have a good time doing it.
The new Lexus SUV looks good. I saw a Toyota. What's their big SUV?
The Land Cruiser?
No.
No, the
ditchback.
Oh, what the hell? I test drove one when Haley was looking.
The RAV4?
No, bigger than that.
The big one?
Yeah,
Sequoia? That's the smallest
Sequoia.
One. Sequoia.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, those are nice.
They're fucking nice.
My grandfather had the first generation of the Sequoia. Yeah.
Dude.
And it was dope as shit.
They were big.
Yeah. And that was in like 03. And it was still a fucking.
Oh, Universal Toyota over here tried to fucking sell me and Haley on one. And they're like, it's only 90 grand. I'm like, kiss my ass with your tongue out, man. I was like, I'm not buying this thing. Like, let's just take it for a test drive. We can drive it. We're not fucking getting it. I'm telling you now.
Re-announced that they were releasing the Wagoneer from Jeep, and then they dropped it, and it was like $98,000. Like, and I was like, for a Jeep?
Out of here.
Pretty nice, though.
They're not 98
you
grand.
You need to go to a Mercedes dealership. If I'm going to spend six figures on a
fucking... I'm getting bent over, it's going to be fucking by the Nazis.
Yeah, if I'm going to spend six figures... If I'm going to spend six figures on a vehicle, it's not going to say Ford or Jeep on the front of it. Fuck off. No fucking way.
Mine does.
That's different. All right? That is a wildly specific, built for fucking specific things.
Yeah.
Well, built for a lot of specific things, really, because you can tow anything on the fucking planet. Right? So that's much different. Yeah, dude.
I couldn't fathom spending $100,000 on a sports car. Because... Only thing
that depends on the sports car.
The only thing it can haul is my ass.
Yep, and that's what I spent the money on.
Yeah,
but it can haul that ass real fast.
Which I'm not going to lie, the brand new Corvette is $100,000, and
that's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Every time I see one, I'm just
too
like
spacey for me.
Oh,
well, I like the new Corvette.
I know you do. You've been fucking talking about that for fucking ever.
It's so fucking.
Why? Weird. Go ahead and advocate for a Charger right now. I dare you.
He's got a Challenger.
That's just a Charger that's heavier. That's all.
Chargeable.
No, the Challenger actually does weigh more than the Charger.
Really?
Yeah. It's Dodge's biggest downfall. They put these massive motors in, and then the car weighs just fucking heavy.
Don't get me wrong. It's got enough torque to crawl up a fucking wall.
The thing is they look fantastic. Sure. And then you look at the weight and you're just like, God damn.
Yeah, they're heavier than fuck.
My 500 horsepower does the job.
Oh, it'll pull it for sure.
Yeah, but if it was 500 horsepower and the weight of a Mustang,
yeah, no.
That thing would be fucking.
I got wings on it and take off.
I got 500 horsepower. And 1,000 foot-pounds of torque.
Yeah.
That your truck fucking moves. Man, my wife's F-250 fucking screws.
Yeah. Well, dude, have you ever ridden with John and his F-250? Holy fuck, man. That thing goes, bro. That is 0 to 100.
The F-150
seconds.
I traded in had the 5.0 in it.
Oh, yeah.
And it just hoofed. And it was just like.
And it was a little older, too. And it was still fucking rock.
That Shelby F-150's got a 700 horsepower.
Yeah.
At 100 grand.
Yeah, the funny thing is, now I have that Explorer, and it weighs more than my F-150 did.
Yeah.
It's probably just as quick, though.
Probably.
Just about.
Yeah.
Just about. The problem is it's new, so it has like 18 fucking drive modes in it. And I'm just like... And it's I used to like get in it and I'd always like change it over. So I had the power band.
Why doesn't it stay on the last setting?
And I got tired of having to fucking feel like I was getting ready to fucking launch a space shuttle because I had to turn this off and turn that off and turn this on and dial that. And then I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. Just push the button. Yeah. I do wish they would put in hey, here's the default for the start.
Yeah.
You pick your default.
And that I want the default to turn off the fucking automatic
stop and start shit.
That fucking last setting.
It should stay to the last setting.
Yeah, turn it off. I have to push the button every fucking time I get in Haley's car and it drives me batshit. Or my rental cars this week.
There's absolutely no reason for it. That's like my car remembers who the driver is based on the key.
Yeah.
And both keys can be in the car, but it knows which key is in the driver's seat and sets everything to that. And I'm like, set my drive modes to my key.
Well, Haley's got options. It's one and two. Like she's one, I'm two. I hit two, boom, boom, boom.
No,
like mine has it on programmed.
You know, it has it on the door, but it remembers it based on my key.
Yeah. You know, I fucked up the other day is all our fobs needed new batteries.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
And me and Michelle's fob got mixed up. So I go to get in my truck and it damn near kills me. Like I open the door, sit down, close the door, start it.
Yeah.
God damn it.
All of a sudden you're eating the steering wheel. Yeah. You're like, what the fuck?
But it changes everything. It changes. No. It changes radio presets.
Yeah.
Like, so you can't tell me that I can't get in here and be like, you know what? I want it to be on the fucking S mode or like whatever the fuck it is. So that I get like everything out of the turbo.
I didn't buy my Expedition has a twin turbo.
Eco mode.
So that it shuts off at a stoplight.
Yeah. Like fucking hate it, dude.
Mine's the same way. The one we bought with the biggest motor you can put in the Explorer, which is the twin turbo, whatever. And I bought it.
It's probably the same engine.
When we went to go trade in the F-150, because Caitlin wanted to, she was like, we don't really need the pickup and I'd like an SUV for the dogs. And I was like, okay, totally fair. Then we're buying it has to be at least the size of an Explorer. And I want fucking...
Well, you said that your fucking truck did the automatic shut off shit and didn't turn back on.
That's the only reason we decided to do it is I was at a light. Nope. I put my foot on the brake and the auto start stop shit shut my car off. And then I took my foot off the brake and it went ying, 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 boom. And I was like, nope. And we literally, and I was like, our errands are done. And we drove to the dealership and I was like, hell no. So
my boy's got this Forescan thing.
You're supposed to cut that off.
Dude.
Yeah, that was Ford scan.
Ford.
That's four
scan. I heard Forescan. Yeah.
Forescan. Not skin.
I was like
scan. But anyway, I'm to the point where I'm gonna have him hook it up.
Not super hygienic.
Shut my auto start off. And if it works,
I'm bringing my car in. Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Fucking.
It is.
Supposedly, there's some keystroke that you can do in the car that will flip it to where you have to turn it on.
You should have to slaughter a fucking chicken to get your car to do
what you want it to do. Yeah.
Dude, my Dodge, I hit three or four buttons, sport mode. You want to fucking jet this fucker up to boom, 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 and it fucking does.
But you have to do it every time you get in.
No, it'll stay. My Dodge stays like the last.
So if Dodge could do it, you know, goddamn well the rest of them do it. Why the fuck can't they?
Ford.
Because mine Ford. Does your Expedition have the little dial?
Yeah.
So I have the dial for my gearbox.
Yeah, and then the sports mode.
And then I have the dial for the modes.
Yeah.
I'm just like, so it's obviously a digital position because you can spin that fucking thing forever, right? So I'm like, it's a digital position. Key one should just leave it in fucking S mode or sport mode, whatever the red line mode, whatever the fuck Ford calls
whatever
it.
Whatever fucking mode you left it in.
Yeah. Which, because
but I tell you what,
on the turbo motors, it spools your turbos faster.
I used to have the Expedition or Explorer. Sport mode compared to regular mode,
it's a different car.
Fucking different car.
It's a different car.
It is like, holy.
When Haley had the RAV4, same thing, man. You throw that thing in sport mode and it was like, what the fuck, dude?
But the whole reason I bought that thing, I told Caitlin, I was like, we can get the SUV. I want all the fucking bells and whistles in it. Like, I want it to have all the stupid shit that I'm not going to use.
Buy once, cry once.
Well, like, my third row has heated seats. What the fuck does that
I
don't think I've ever had them folded up because they fold flat into the deck.
Yeah. You need it for the dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. But.
Not so much in Texas.
And I wanted all
in Nebraska. That was a big deal.
Yeah. I wanted all the perforated leather, and it's got all the rest of the shit that everything has now: the cooled seats, the heated seats, the panoramic sunroof, the fucking I also wanted the brake hold thing because I fucking love that shit where you just push the brake in, you can take your foot off, and it just holds your car in position and doesn't move till you. My bike has it. I can pull my brake lever on my bike and you feel it pulse and it turns on the brake hold and I can let go of the brake and the bike just.
What about your clutch?
That I just hold in.
Oh, yeah.
And, but it'll just hold it.
Huh.
So I don't have to like clutch ride it. So the clutch goes to brake over. So there's no pressure on it at that point and the brake just auto holds. My bike has it.
Oh, huh.
And, but I'm like, it has all of that shit. It can't remember that I just want it in sport mode and don't turn off.
Yeah.
Stop fucking turning off at stoplights.
The first time. Like, Michelle had just bought a new F-150.
That's the reason I won't get rid of my truck. It doesn't have that shit.
She bought a new F-150. And this is probably in, I don't know, 2015.
Yeah.
Right? And we just bought it. We're driving home. Stop at the drive-thru to get some food on the way home, right? At the drive-thru, it shuts off. And we're both like, what the fuck? Like, we didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, right?
Like... How the fuck, like, what the fuck? We're pushing the button to turn it off and it just shuts off. Like, all the electronics shut off. Like, what the fuck? And then we finally let go of the brake and it turns back on. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like, this is stupid.
Yeah. It's dumbest thing ever.
And it's going to save you what?
It'll save you 30 cents in gas a year.
Yeah.
But here's my complaint on it is, like, you guys know how starters work. There's a Bendix inside of a starter.
Yeah, it shreds your starter.
And it'll shred it, man, because every time you turn the key, it pops in, hits the flywheel, starts the fucking vehicle, right?
Well,
that Bendix popping in and out every fucking time.
And they put a more expensive battery in your car.
Of course.
Yeah. So when you go to replace your battery, it's $300 instead of $100.
So now it's that. Plus, eventually, your starter's going to shit the bed like Jazz has started to. And this was a 2019. This happened, what, fucking 4 months ago or 5 months ago, whenever that happened? Like, I mean, they don't last that fucking long, man.
It's
like,
just it's annoying.
The other
it's
thing
annoying.
Was is that I bought that F-150 with a 5-liter V8 in it.
Yeah.
Why the fuck
yeah.
is there an auto start stop for econ in that fucking car?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I bought a 6,000-pound vehicle with a V8 in it because I was really looking for great fuel.
I bought an silly. Expedition with a Raptor motor. And it shuts off.
What the fuck?
Like how? It's so dumb.
Ford.
Yeah. Fix it, Ford.
I did enjoy the fucking rental though. That was a very nice truck.
I love my F-150. Truck. I really
now the electric trucks, Explorer, right? Like because we had the
Maverick was impressive.
We had the hybrid Maverick.
Yeah,
and that stopped the engine at the stoplight, but it was different.
Yeah, well, because
it didn't feel the same.
It clicked into fucking electric, and that's what this F-150 was doing.
Yeah,
because you notice,
and it feels different.
It does. It does.
When you have a gas motor only shut off.
Yeah.
And then
there's no,
there's a half a second delay when you like want to go.
And the Maverick doesn't even use the gas motor till you're above like 20 and then it kicks the gas in or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if you floor it.
My least favorite part about that auto start stop is that I live in fucking Texas.
And they're stopped.
And like this last summer,
yes,
it was 100 days straight of 100 and fuck outside.
And you can feel your vent go from cold to hot.
To just blowing just hot air at me. And I'm like, fucking.
Yeah, it's not conducive to this.
I don't know how we got on this topic, but fuck Ford, fix it.
Yeah.
Remember the last setting and just stay there. Just fucking stay there. Like, it's not hard.
Yeah.
Smiles and Toyota owner.
I'm going to bitch about Toyota for a minute.
Let's go.
It took Toyota till 2022 to like get any of the options that were available for 7 years prior in any other make.
That's true.
Finally,
like my 2020,
they're just now coming around.
My 2020 doesn't have cooled seats. It's got every fucking thing else.
Does it have adaptive cruise control?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But it took them fucking forever.
Well, they're advertising now that they finally put the roll down rear window back into the 4Runner.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
that's the one thing I like about the Tundra.
That's your ad campaign right now, is that the back glass. You took it out for 15 fucking years
and
you
nobody
it back
cares
and you're
about
like,
that.
Hey, we haven't really improved this thing.
Like,
but we put a roll.
Blazer did away with that in 1990.
Right.
And nobody bitched.
Like,
because they'd get stuck in the fucking down position and that was the end of the fucking
thing. Right. Jesus.
Anyway,
Toyota should just be like, it won't break.
Yeah.
Buy it.
Yeah.
That should be your whole ad campaign. It doesn't break that often.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. They will run forever.
Fucking forever. Like, I mean, you'll get $200,000 out of a fucking Toyota.
You'll get $300,000 out of a fucking Toyota.
Yeah.
What's in current events? We started talking about something before.
Oh, the Alec Baldwin murder case.
Yeah.
So apparently the armorer got 18 months.
Which I think is a light sentence.
It's the maximum penalty for the felony.
What was the felony? What was the exact?
Accidental manslaughter.
Okay.
Manslaughter, whatever.
Yeah.
Third degree, whatever the fuck.
Do y'all think since they finally charged her that they might have a charge coming for Alec Baldwin?
Well, he's the one that pulled the trigger.
So, well, here's the other thing. Look at the bottom here. David Hall is the film's first assistant director, his first AD, who had conducted the safety check on the revolver prior to the shooting, was charged with negligent use of a deadly weapon in connection with the incident. He pled no contest to the misdemeanor and was sentenced last year to 6 months.
Probation.
Yeah, probation.
6 months probation.
Yeah, 6 months probation as part of a plea deal. That's the guy. If you just did the safety check,
well,
you obviously fucked that up.
You're part of the chain of custody,
like,
that
Alec Baldwin, right?
What was the budget on this film? $4?
It was a low budget, like whatever. Like
oh, yeah. No, okay. So I'm gonna tell you right now.
I think it was actually an SNL skit.
The standard the standard on a film set is that nobody, and I mean nobody, touches the weapon except the armorer until it is time to hand it to the actor.
Who does
says you alone this was a quote from the judge. You alone turned a safe weapon into a lethal weapon.
It's true.
I don't think she alone did that.
Well, no, it was 100% her responsibility.
Yeah, it's the armor.
You are an armor, right? And okay, what was this chick's fucking resume to become an armor?
Her dad was an armor. That was her resume.
Okay. My dad had guns.
Her dad was like a longtime Hollywood armor.
And that's how you know this wasn't. So look, I am not a union guy.
The budget was $8 million, by the way.
Okay, so you had enough to.
I'm just saying, what does it take to become a Hollywood armor?
This is also,
be good at that.
This couldn't have been a union show. Because this had to be fully independent. It had to be. No. This is a non-union show.
No, this was a big.
Yeah, the budget was $8 million.
That's going to be on Netflix or one of the fucking.
Anything sub $10 million, by the way, is considered to be a zero budget film.
Yeah.
Just so you know. So this couldn't have been union. There's no fucking way a first AD would have done a safety check on a revolver.
The weapons that were going to be in the film shouldn't have been at the range that they
nowhere
no.
does a first AD ever interact with the weapon. It's not even their purview.
With pops.
The first AD's job is to make sure that all of the departments near the camera are where they're supposed to be and on time.
Yeah.
That's their job. It's not
project management.
It's not checking revolvers.
The one time I was on a movie set, it was literally the armor handing it to the actor.
That's the only way it should be. And it's for this.
Yeah.
He does have an IMDb page.
That's true.
I do.
So, that's true.
So a leading film and television union in New Mexico has criticized the producers of Rust for replacing workers with non-union members and for ignoring complaints about conditions on set.
This wasn't the only thing.
Jess, it's almost like you know what you're talking about.
This would have never, because look, I'm not pro-union, but there's a reason the unions exist on film sets. And things have to be held to a standard. It's also to make sure that, you know, the unions did get together so that below the line workers are guaranteed a certain amount that they're getting paid.
Yeah.
So in a film budget, you have above the line and below the
line. In theory, a union makes perfect sense.
In film, it makes a lot of
sense. But then you get people involved and they take advantage.
Well, I mean, with seeing what these guys make and how fucking they dog them.
Yeah.
On some of those film sets, they get fucking.
Well, it's also to maintain work days and stuff like that because you have these independent films. So the union standard for like IATSE, which is all the people that do grip and electric and all that kind of stuff on film, essentially everybody that builds everything and makes sure that the lights work and everything, you can do 12 hours on and then there has to be a 12 hour break. And then you can do, so it's 12 and 12. There has to be a 12 hour, you can work 12 hours, but there's a 12 hour gap. That's union standard. You get into these independent films and then they're like, well, we're behind schedule. So we're just going to keep fucking filming.
Yeah.
And that standard is where safety lets go and all that kind of stuff. And then motherfuckers get shot or people are sleeping.
How
you drop fucking.
How in the world does a live round get put into a.
Well, we found out.
Any gun. I know, but like.
They went to the.
It doesn't even look like a blank. You know what I mean? It's like when you're loading it, one of these doesn't look right.
But literally
it has one of those on the tip of it.
Like we do, we do skits and shit with real guns that have had real bullets in them all the time. Right. And I am 0% worried about there being an incident.
Well,
right. But if you're a dedicated movie prop gun or a movie armor, there should never, ever be a live round put in any of those guns ever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand that.
They went to the range that
I know. Have
been other guns. Like, we're going to use these other ones. We're not going to use any of them that are going to be anywhere.
No, they should have been locked up.
Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of people that now they should never be allowed to work again. Whoever coordinated that range day and used the set guns for it.
Yeah.
You should never be allowed on a film set again.
I agree.
And honestly, should also be brought up on charges because you took what is supposed to be a non-functional weapon.
The armor let it happen. She's ultimately should be responsible for a lot of it.
Well, yeah, now, who secured it after the fucking range day?
Yeah.
Right? Like it had to be the armor.
It should have been her. She has to sign for it.
And you, Christ, when we get back from a weekend, and I'm putting guns back in the Army.
Check everything.
And I
every time.
And I've found loaded. I've found it before.
I don't let somebody.
But you catch it.
I don't let somebody look at the shit. Look at my guns until I have picked them up, dropped the magazine, cleared it, and everything.
Then everything's
like locked to the rear and everything, and I hand it off. And
then they look
like,
at it.
Every time, like if you show me a new pistol and you'll clear it.
I clear it.
I grab it. I clear it a few times. And and it's just second nature. Granted, that's also training that we've had, right? We've all been trained.
But that's why I go back to what fucking experience did this chick have?
Fuck all.
It's in the article, right, that she had.
She's about to have an experience of 18 months in prison. I do like Jazz made a good point, though. How do you get to the point where you could be like, my schedule doesn't really work with this trial. Can we push it off like a solid 18 months?
Yeah, what the fuck?
There was a video.
His trial is supposed to start in July. So it's still not even like close to starting.
And the first AD got sentenced last year.
Well, because he was smart. He you know what he did? He assumed some responsibility.
He pled no contest.
He pled no contest because, you know, like I fucked up. If I was that armor, I would absolutely be like, I'm sorry. Like I fucked up.
Yeah,
I absolutely
100%. But she tried to be like, I didn't do anything wrong.
My fault.
I didn't
pull the trigger.
I don't know if she said that or not. I don't know. Her
lawyer. But that's kind of where this is at. If you went to trial and now have been found guilty.
But even now.
And they were handing out plea deals. It like.
Yeah, you're fucked. You fucked yourself. You could have already been done with your probation.
Yeah. but even Alec Baldwin, like he has to bear some responsibility.
Well, like Johnny Cochran said, the color of justice is green.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it's unfortunate.
He also said, if the glove don't fit,
so I'm curious. Quit. So Brandon Lee died on the set of The Crow.
Yeah.
But that was from a blank.
The blank blew out the plug, I think.
Yeah. Right.
Did anybody go to jail for that?
Never heard.
I don't believe so because I think that was.
It was a legitimate accident.
That was deemed a legitimate accident because they were doing all of. They did all of their due diligence.
I love it was the just conspiracy a faulty. Theory that
was Brandon that, Lee though, was that a live round
forever?
No,
it was the cardboard or like the, something. Whatever.
The weld,
Justin's
the
weld looking.
I think the weld let go in the barrel.
Yeah.
So
no, I think that's
so
what
it hit him like a bullet. Yeah. But
what's crazy? I that part's still in the movie.
I loved the conspiracy like, theories that cracked up about that though.
It's because, very authentic.
Because Bruce was teaching.
Right. That's all part of the whole of the fucking he was teaching. Cursed.
And Brandon was doing it on camera. And so
that's because they put out the Bruce Lee story like shortly after that.
But it was like the whole thing with this whole like, well, because they were using a martial art that was never supposed to be seen by the public.
It was cursed.
They were coming in and they were sending people in to kill them. And
oh, dude, I drank so much of that. Don't get me wrong. I could definitely go for a drink right now. My body is like, don't you fucking dare. Right, like
his fucking arm will fall off just to stop him,
bro. I like the copious amounts of fucking booze that I put into my body this weekend. Was Baltimore's bad for your fucking health, dude? When you hang out with the fucking so bartender bad. Crew that I know, holy fuck! And now because we're all old heads, most of them either own or run every fucking bar. So it's like you're not going in there to see the bartender that's like your 25-year-old buddy. You're going in there to see that bartender's boss's boss, and it's like. Open a tab. Fuck. It's like, all right, let's go.
Sounds like you need to invite a buddy to Baltimore.
Dude, I'm telling you, if we did a weekend in Baltimore, and I think we should, I would love to see it because holy fuck. I will say that city has gotten fucking worse. This is something that's really, really true. Dude, we are so fucking fortunate here in Texas.
Yeah. So many levels.
The government, the administration that's currently in office, we've seen a fucking impact here in Texas on our daily lives. I appreciate Texas even more so because we've seen it minimal compared to those fucking cities. Yeah. You know, I was talking to my buddy Jim's girlfriend, who is a wonderful lady, very, very sweet, classic liberal, right? Classic liberal, right. Not a leftist, not a twat. She's great. All right. She's great. And she's one of those that you could have a conversation and she was intelligent and lovely. And I really did appreciate her. Her name's Michelle and she's fucking great. So her and I were having this conversation and a little bit politically charged, but not bad. And I was just like, I can't justify voting for that dude that's currently in there. I can't justify it because there's any other option right now.
Can't fathom it.
Is better. than that, you know? And she's like, but Donald Trump. And I was like, I also can't argue that that man did a bad job at his job. Like 4 years of Donald Trump, he had the hardest fucking presidency in fucking history as far as noise goes. And if you deny that, you're fucking wearing fucking blinders, you know? And he excelled. And I really miss $1.38 a gallon.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I've said this publicly hundreds of times. I don't like Donald Trump, the person. I think he's a New York douchebag.
No, I think Donald Trump, the person, would be a decent person. I really do.
I'm a kid from Boston. I automatically hate him because he's a New Yorker that's a rich douchebag.
Okay. I get that a lot. Like, but I think if he just quit tweeting things that
were
so easily taken out of context.
Sure.
Like he needs
to be there's more. Zero filter on that, man.
Like, yeah. But which I also appreciate a little bit.
But to a point, sure.
Yeah.
But not as a political leader, right?
But if you're setting up layups for the other
the other side is strangling themselves with all the bullshit, the crime and everything. Just let them continue to strangle themselves.
Yeah, dude. They're already digging their own grave.
Just
let
it go.
Let it happen.
Yeah.
You know, like let their actions speak for themselves.
He's gotten a lot better.
He has.
Well, I think he learned a pretty big lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyways, here or there, seeing the impact in a blue city that's already as kind of fucked up as Baltimore was is crazy.
The fact that you say it's worse than when
it's
you were there.
Worse.
When you were there during like The Wire.
Yeah.
Like
and it's fucking worse, bro. Like
I'm not sure.
Wow, man. Like I was like, damn. And honestly, COVID did not do that city any fucking favors.
Yeah.
That stuff.
You know, it was fuck, man. And credit to them. They're all still fucking real liberal. And I'm like, I don't understand y'all. Like, look what you've seen the transition.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fucking working. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
that's because I am utterly convinced that suffering has become addictive. It's fashionable.
It is to be the victim.
No, it's fashionable to bitch.
Yeah.
And it's a.
Well, it's because they don't want to look like they're privileged.
Well, it's in everything now. Like I have the. For example, there's a product change that is happening this summer for one of the big products that I sell. Huh. And they're updating the rules. It's been 4 years and they're doing a rules update. It happens every 4 years to everything that company puts out. And this summer, they're literally burning all the rules down and starting over. It's not even like here's an update. It's literally a start over. Most people are excited. And I've had people that walk in and they're like, so how many people are upset about this? That, and I've just cut them off and been like, nobody, actually. It's just people like you that sit online and you're lonely and you like to bitch because you think that drama is somehow making you special. Everybody else is actually excited that the game that they've now been playing the same way for 4 fucking years is getting an update. And now things move on. We had this discussion a couple weeks ago.
It's about, like a brand new game.
About you and firearms.
Yeah.
That you haven't done the whole like, God damn it. This got better.
Yeah,
I want it the worst way.
I like new shit. Yeah.
And most people that are really into a hobby, they like when it evolves. This is the same thing with video games and new downloadable content comes out, or a movie you loved gets a sequel and it's, you know, and it doesn't suck. Like typically when something advances, we just talked about it with cars where it's like, I love everything that happened. Yeah. There's a couple of things that bug me, but for the most part, I like this, that, and the other. I have literally now just started just shutting people off and just going like, we're not going to do that in here. If you can't, we're going to focus on the fact that this is a hobby that you're supposed to enjoy.
Yeah.
And we're not going to sit here and bitch about it. And I literally think it's life is so good that people are now just inventing shit to fucking piss and moan about.
Can't confirm.
Because it makes people feel special that they can complain about it. And it's like,
that's the whole internet thing.
And it's like, fuck, man. Like,
well, I mean, and I think that that's a reflection of how awesome this country is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it needs to be recognized, right? Like we have it so fucking good. And we can say that from a position of seeing the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we have it so fucking good that we create problems that are
the
fucking
brain. People who bitch the most have seen the least.
Oh, 100%.
They've never left their neighborhood. They've never left their city, their
state.
You've
got people complaining or advocating for a terrorist organization, thinking that Hamas is going to kill them.
Oh, we need a ceasefire. Well, what was wrong with the ceasefire before Hamas violated it?
Yeah,
right. Like, see what they did.
We had one of those, and they said, fuck it.
Yeah.
they don't have a grasp of history, whether it's Hamas and everything that's going on there or anything that's gone on in this country. They have no, if it didn't happen literally 5 fucking minutes ago on fucking Instagram or fucking like whatever, it didn't happen.
You could replace Hamas with Al-Qaeda and they'd be like, I think we should let Al-Qaeda go.
This whole scenario.
Like, remember fucking 2001, yeah.
This whole scenario would be like, if I got up, walked around the table and punched you in the fucking face. And then you kicked my ass and everybody was cheering for me.
Right. Like, yeah.
Like, what?
But then we'd all forget about it 5 minutes later.
Like, oh, free Scott. Well, Scott punched Mikey in the fucking face.
Like, yeah.
No, but Mikey's kicking his ass. Free Scott. Like, what? Like, I don't get it.
No, dude, that's your part of the desk. He took it from you.
Yeah, well, it is my desk.
Sort of.
Oh, wait, Leon made this for us.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Like, you want to fight? Let's see who they cheer for.
Matter of fact, we don't talk about it. He's sitting in my chair. All right. Yeah, exactly. I'm in John's chair.
Exactly.
So you are one of the ones taking
over this fucking line.
So you are taking things from the Jews.
Hey. Dude, I'm so pro Jew.
The Jews are awesome.
The Jews are awesome, dude. Like, I just went to a Jewish funeral. Like the whole prayer and everything in Hebrew and shit. And I was just like, I don't know what's happening, but bro,
again,
tell me there were some jokes.
It's another culture that's pro hat. It's a very hat based culture.
Small hat.
That's not true.
Well, they're humble.
They do have big hats.
The more important you get.
Yeah. They do kind of have like a,
you get the,
my buddy, Jim, who I love dearly. One of the funniest dudes I've ever met. He's a Marine veteran. I fucking adore this guy. I stayed in his house. He got up to say something about our friend Jake. Jewish family, Jewish funeral. Quoted 1 Corinthians. I was like, you just quoted the New Testament to a room full of Jews. I was like,
most of them were cool about it.
They were cool. But I was just like,
I'm not going to lie.
Like, the irony wasn't lost on me. Right.
Am I the only one that gets this?
And then his mom called him a mensch.
There's extremists in every religion.
Sure.
I mean, if you look at like the Hasidic community and that's like a hardcore, like there's all these rules. We only follow the rules and stuff. And you can look at it and be like, they don't seem very open. They're not. They are extreme to their religion.
They have great hats.
Yeah, they have great hats though.
Great hats. And the curlies.
Not like the curlies, but I like the big fuzzy things.
Oh, yeah, the big fuzz hat thing. Yeah,
is a great hat.
More so because
Well, they also have the flat billed hats that they wear, and there's
like
the big old hat culture, man. I'm
the old preacher hats.
I'm pro hat culture.
Hmm. But I'll go back to this though. Every person that we, I mean, not every person, but all the people we meet in real life, most people are fucking decent people.
We've said it before. It's 90% of people,
but
are fucking great.
All of these, I don't know.
It's 5% all the way to one side and 5% all the way on the other side.
Like these fucking,
you know, when we talk about the 10%.
Yeah,
that's the 10%.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know them. I guess I'm in a good place in life because I don't personally know.
But we've all met.
I know.
We've all met them. It's just that it's when we meet them, we're just always like, yeah, okay. And then like,
maybe.
And then they get flushed. The problem is that this is where I absolutely love the internet and I absolutely despise the fucking internet because our boy, Kevin Smith, one of the best lines that he's ever written was, Jay and Silent Bob don't know what the internet is. And they're like, what the fuck is the internet? And so they show him the internet.
They're like, the internet is a communications tool. Use the world over.
And it's
for
like
people to come together and bitch about pornography or bitch about movies.
Share pornography. Yeah, share pornography and bitch about movies. it's essentially the internet has given everybody a voice.
That is a great fucking line.
And for the most part, people use the internet for information or for porn.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck says it.
And then you have the really loud percent on the really loud 5% on the extreme of any topic there is that go on there and just fucking run their mouth. And it's everything. It's political. You ever been on Sniper's Hideout?
Sniper's Hide.
Sniper's Hide? Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. You want to piss some other fuckers on in there? That's a good time.
If you don't, yeah, yeah.
Just go in there and just say something. It doesn't really matter what it is.
I feel like, I think a moist Nagat's really accurate.
That's the only place my joke fell short.
Which one?
One shot, one whole group at any distance with an SKS and steel fucking ammo,
yeah.
Right? Because they all got it.
They were like, no, they all understood. They're all like, no shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
But no, I've been a member of the Sniper's Hide since.
Probably since its inception?
No, I was about a year or two behind. But
you were.
Yeah.
I
was a soda constructor and a member. And then I was a firearms manufacturer and a member.
Information on there is fantastic.
It is. It really
is. You will see some conversations on there of people that just get fucking.
You have
snotty on there, and it's like,
yeah, because you have people that have been on there forever and absolutely know what they're talking about, and then you get the new guy that asks the same question for the 1,000,000th time.
Sure, but you're on a public forum, not everybody's been there since the inception of it, and some of these guys that are getting in, then it's like, yeah, they're gonna ask the question. They're those base level questions that entry level.
But if you look on there, there's a lot of good advice and a lot of people,
that's what I'm saying.
There's always
90% of that community is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then you have the 5% on the extreme of one side or the other that just never shut the fuck up. Or you have some guy that maybe it's an intermediate question. And so he goes into a forum and he asks this intermediate question. And you'll get like 5 or 6 answers of dudes that are like, you might want to look at this. This is what's worked for me. Da, da, da. And then you have that one dude that's like, obviously you need to fucking.
The problem with asking questions.
My favorite is the, as a whatever, as a veteran, you lost me. You already fucking lost me, expert. All right. You were a PFC. I can tell by the way you're answering this.
So I used to own a gun shop, right?
You did?
I did. So, but the problem with the Sniper's Hide is when you ask a question, like if somebody came into my store and said, hey, this is what I'm looking for. My first question is, what is your budget? When somebody asks a question on the Sniper's Hide,
it's not that.
Nobody knows what their budget is.
Yeah.
So you have people that have the $100 budget answering the question. You have the people that have the $1,000 budget answering the question. And you have the people with the $10,000 budget answering the question, and they are vastly different answers. And nobody says what price bracket they're answering the question in.
My favorite thing on any forum are the guys that will give you a $10,000 answer, but live on a $100 budget.
Yeah.
And it's like,
well, that's why we have credit cards.
And it's like, no.
those guys are living in dreams, though.
But they can't
they know where their dreams are.
They can't afford the answer they're about to give you. But hey, it's internet cred.
Yeah.
And they don't own anything that they're on there talking about.
Like if I got on there and I asked, what is the best thermosite available? Or if I asked, what's the best thermosite?
They'd be like, I like my ATN Thor 4.
Right?
I'm a poor, so I have one of those.
The most intelligent way to answer that question is, what are you trying to do with it? And what is your budget?
Yeah.
Without those two pieces of information, whatever you throw at that guy,
I got this one off fucking.
It's just shit Temu, on a wall.
Off Temu, and it's great.
Yes. That's,
But the thing is if that piece of gear works for him,
in a $10 budget, that is the best night vision I ever looked through.
Fucking night. For a $10 budget.
And that's the thing.
Yeah.
We've talked about it, and it's everything. Get on a whiskey forum.
Okay. Oh, the experts. Oh, the expert.
Well, guy, I can't afford a $10,000 bottle of fucking wherever the fuck. Give me a goddamn break. I like this shit.
Or the problem is the answer with something they've read and they're regurgitating it. Well, they have no personal experience.
Cut and paste. Best answer I saw was somebody was on there and they're like, hey, what does everybody think of Eagle Rare 10 versus 17? And some guy was like, well, nothing compares to the double Eagle Very Rare. And it was like,
that's not what he asked.
Yeah.
It's a $7,000 bottle of bourbon that you can't get your hands on. Like only sold on the secondary market.
Yeah.
They're never available.
I've actually seen it for sale, but I'm still not buying it.
Yeah. That must be wonderful. I'll never get that.
Oh, I was unaware that Bill Gates was in this fucking forum. Take it easy, Elon.
Fire. Yeah, because you paid $500 in some fucking bar in Louisville to get a half a fucking pour of that. Congratulations, now you're a fucking bourbon expert. Give me a fucking break, dude.
Well, it's like everybody who advocates for Pappy. I'm like, go fuck yourself.
I'm a Jameson fan, right? Jesus Christ, there's a Jameson Reserve. It's about $500 a bottle.
Yep.
On my New Year's one year, there was a bottle of Jameson Reserve at the bar I was in. And I'm like, hey, I would like a pour of that. It was $50.
Yeah.
Right.
Sold.
Oh, I would have did that.
Yeah. Right. It was. Yeah. Yeah. Right. And I tried it. And I'm like, okay, now I know I'm never going to buy the bottle. It was good.
But it's just not worth $500.
But it was just not to me.
Yeah.
Right.
I went out with a.
Guys, I want to read this text message I just got from our friend Gary. It says, what are you doing this weekend? Come away with me on a romantic endeavor.
Gary
Brugman.
Huh.
And he's, you know, he went to prison for a while. So I'm that scares me a little bit.
I didn't even know Gary liked you. So that's really weird.
I like how all of you check your phones. Did he also invite me on this romantic rendezvous?
No. Like, just, I'm going to text him right now.
Ask if he can start in the shower.
Can we start in the shower?
I went out last week with all of our friend and my very good friend, Steve Dixon.
The legendary man, Steve Dixon. Fucking legend. Yep.
And we went up to CI. And now, as we all know, Steve is a big fan of E.H. Taylor.
Yeah.
That's his whiskey of choice, right? If he can get it, that's what he's drinking. So when we go, we'll sit down, she'll come over, and he goes, do you have E.H. Taylor? And if the answer's no, he looks at me and goes, pick something else. Because he knows what he likes, and he has decided that he doesn't need to look elsewhere. So I looked over at the wall and I was like, man. And then I went, holy shit, you have some. And she goes, oh, did you see the Pappy up there? And I was like, I don't give a fuck about the Pappy. But next to it was Eagle Rare 17.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's impressive. And I was like, what else? And he was like, wait a minute, what's Eagle Rare 17? I was like, well, I was like, you've had Eagle Rare 10.
And he
was like,
yeah,
it's
rarer.
17. I was like, how hard is it? And I was like, it's a very allocated bourbon. It's very hard to find retail. Typically, you're only going to find it in bars and restaurants because they get first crack at it.
Yep.
Da, 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 da. And I was like, it's not impossible, but you don't see it a lot. Like, it's just and I'm only telling the story because he said one of the most gangster lines I've ever heard in my life at the end of this thing. And he's like, okay, we'll each have doubles of that. And she goes, are you sure it's $55 a pour?
Don't tell me what I'm about, son. Fucking pour it.
Close. Without missing a beat, Steve just looks at her and goes, bring it and don't ever question my wallet again. And I was like, wow, that is a gangster ass line. And so he came by the store a couple days ago and I had staff on. So we went out back and had a cigar and I had some Eagle Rare. So we were drinking Eagle Rare and smoking cigars in the back. And he was like, what was that Eagle Rare we had? And I was like, 17. And he was like, is there anything harder to find than 17?
Oh, you told him about
And so I told him about double Eagle Barrier. And he was like, how do we get it? And I was like, I'm not one to question your wallet.
But I want to inform you.
There's also the level of extreme where you just go, this isn't fucking worth it. But apparently now we have this quest to find somewhere that has it.
Oh, I've seen
it. As a pour?
As a pour.
Oh, as a pour.
And the reason being,
it would be cheaper almost to buy the bottle.
But I think he wants
P-O-U-R, not P-O-O-R.
And I think he wants to find it because Eagle Rare is my favorite whiskey.
Yeah.
Like I keep like three bottles of it in my house just in case. Like that is my bourbon of choice.
I'm there with you, actually.
Eagle Rare is just fantastic.
It's very good. It's wonderful.
Speaking of which, Bradley Freeman, you deserve a fucking shout out. He brought me two bottles of Eagle Rare 10-year barrel select to the store. So Bradley, fucking hats off to you, buddy. And then another guy brought me another bottle for the store's birthday. So I ended up with three bottles of Eagle Rare.
And Bradley, if you brought one of those for the show and you brought it to Jazz Store, you fucked up. And I'm not holding it against him.
He didn't bring it to the
store.
Bring it for the show.
He brought
Devil's River and shit here. He brought that specifically to me.
What else did he bring? He brought something.
He brought something else, too. We drank it.
Oh, what was it? It was good, but I don't remember.
It must have been.
Yeah.
Must have been great.
Yeah. But I
what the fuck was that?
Think he wants to find it just because it, I said,
yeah,
it's the only Eagle Rare I've never had.
Right.
I've had all of the rest of the Eagle Rare.
It's the coolest bottle in the industry by far.
And you're supposed to keep it.
Yeah.
Well, like, you have to. It's awesome. So
it's a decanter.
It's a decanter.
Yeah. So when you're done, you're supposed to just refill it with Eagle Rare and drink it.
No, it's awesome.
You know who's probably got it? Place and Bernie.
Well, I've seen it in specs before, honestly.
How much was it? Like 15?
I don't even remember.
I bet you it was 15. I think MSRP on it's like 1500.
It was probably around there, but
I've seen it up to like five on secondary.
For resale.
I was Googling over the bottle.
It's amazing. It's a fucking...
But it's because it's got that eagle in the bottom.
Yeah,
yeah.
And then the stopper is also a crystal eagle.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah.
And it's made by a Swarovski crystal. That's who makes the cancer.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, that's dope.
So honestly, you're spending about $1,000 on this Swarovski crystal custom decanter. And then there's a $500 really awesome bottle of whiskey in it.
Yeah.
But I'll find it at some point. There's that one out in Fredericksburg too. That there it is.
There it is.
Yeah.
Look at that resale. 15, 13, 10, 11, 11, 11 grand.
Grand, 20 grand,
15, 3. Jesus, not 20 grand over there. Fuck.
Yeah. There's the,
what's the retail price? Can you find
double that? Eagle
fucking five?
Look at that. Look at that bottle though.
Oh, that's not retail.
2000.
20. No, that's not 2000. Even
2000. Suggested retail price of double gear is
$2,000.
I don't know. We've got that bottle of fucking Boss Hog I got for my 50th birthday that Jazz missed that we are going to get into as soon as we pop.
You know, I was going to be there until I had somebody quit and I got to work their fucking shift at my store. So,
but I got a bottle of Boss Hog that we
did. You crush. Congrats, man. And I'm because when she sent the text, I was the first one to text back that was like,
well, Jazz is coming. I'm like, oh, good. Yeah.
I was like, I'll absolutely be there. And then we literally had somebody fucking quit and I had to cover their shift at the store. So I apologize, buddy.
I never answered the text, but I went.
You were the first one there. So
yeah.
I was literally
felt bad about fucking
his wife sent out the text message.
I'm like, often like that,
though. Hey, it's the week after his birthday or whatever, but we're celebrating at this time. And I was the first one to respond that was like, I'll be there. And so it wasn't that I don't love you, buddy, but unfortunately.
Speaking of people quitting, I want to address Warfighter Tobacco. Mr. Warfighter Eric, our Texas sales rep, found another job, another opportunity. So he moved on.
He's Godspeed, my friend.
Yeah, man.
Out of the cigar industry, getting into some oil tool stuff.
Which is just big money.
Yeah, big
money. Yeah, dude. Yeah.
So I can't fault him. Eric did great for us. But if you're listening to this and you're one of our retailers who Eric visited, bear with us. You might be seeing me coming up here shortly, which, you know, I don't know if that'll be any better for you or not. But we'll figure it out.
I don't know, man. If I was a retailer and the owner.
Well, you would you would think, but
kind of makes me feel like a big deal. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, this is a sales guy.
Hey, man,
the owner's here.
Yeah.
There's some owners that have absolutely built their brand off the backbone of the fact that it was them.
No, absolutely.
Omar over at Fratello.
Yeah,
that's how he got.
Oh,
where he's at.
Omar's awesome.
He's a fucking.
But
I have never ever had a bad time.
No,
hanging out with Omar. Omar is
he's an awesome guy.
Yeah.
But I wish Eric the best, and you know, like I said, for all the retailers and people who knew Warfighter Eric, I wish him the best, and you know, we'll figure out how to move on from this, and
I think it's important that this wasn't bad terms.
No, like, not at all. No.
He was doing a killer job.
He was doing a great job.
He's also way too pretty for you to get mad at.
Yeah.
Like, because he is a pretty man.
But he's doing a killer. And I can honestly say, and I don't work here, but or work for Warfighter. But I can honestly say that man hustled. He loved the brand. Like, he represented the brand very well. Like, he was very, very good at
it. I told him, Eric, if I gave you anything, it's a lifelong hobby that's now going to get very expensive for you.
And that might be why he needs a better job.
That is smoking cigars.
Can we address something real quick?
Yeah.
Jazz and I do not work at Warfighter Tobacco.
No.
We don't work here.
I don't work here.
We don't work here. I'm going to say it one more time for those in the back. We don't fucking work here. All right?
Yeah.
Stop asking me.
Yeah.
my employees consist of Dave. Justin.
Yep.
Present.
My wife, Michelle.
Yep.
and myself and John.
And that's the entire company.
That's it. That's the entire company.
Yeah, right now. It is. Look, I happy to call you guys friends.
You're my best friends.
Yeah.
I literally. I will advocate and help however I can every time. Same with Jazz.
It is. It is funny when
I've sent a lot of people here.
Yeah.
Sure. I feel like I operate as an unofficial ambassador for Warfighter, but
yeah. No, you're an official one. You're just not a paid one.
Yeah.
Cigar industry doesn't pay ambassadors.
Exactly.
No, absolutely not. I mean, shit, my bar has a Warfighter tobacco sign hanging on the wall. Fucking.
I gotta swap that out for you.
Yeah, because people keep asking me if I sell them. I need to. Yeah, we gotta get the. We gotta get the one that's just an ad and not.
It says Warfighter, probably the best cigars.
Because right now it says authorized tobacconist, which
yeah.
is
yeah. Let's see how. When I go to Rustic or wherever, they're like, "Yeah, Warfighter." I'm like, "No." I'm like, it's like a mafia family. We're associates. Yeah. We're associates.
Right?
I
don't work here.
I've gone to events. We do not work here. I've been friends with the brand quite literally since almost the day you came to San Antonio. Damn close.
I was within a week or two.
It was damn close. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very lucky to call the Warfighter boys my friends and very, very close friends. We've been at just about every major life event that's happened in all of our lives in the last several years.
We've been through it together.
Yeah. There's a lot of information that has been shared in this friend group that will never make this show, but
never, ever. But we do not work here.
I do not work for Warfighter Tobacco.
The mafia family. It's like a murder.
Now, if you mail something to Warfighter Tobacco for Jazz or Mikey, they will get it.
Yeah, which has happened.
Which happens regularly. I sent you guys the post with
immediate response was, what a fucking king.
You're right. Yeah. Even though he gaslit me. Dude, I didn't get butt hurt. I didn't feel left out. I know how important it is to Jazz. That's why I was like, it's good. It's good. Yeah. You fucking gaslighting fucker.
He's just hooking you up with a patch. It'll be good. But yeah,
Jacob Sellers,
Jacob Sellers, the piggyback. I was the first one to sit down to this podcast and pour myself a whiskey, and I finished the bottle today.
God, that shit was good.
It phenomenal.
Very good.
So good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
We also had a comment asking if only certain people can send packages, and I replied, no, anybody can send packages. They just have to be fucking awesome. It's the only requirement.
The packages or the people?
Yes.
Yes. The package.
Hey. You don't have to have an awesome package to send a package, but the package you send has to be awesome.
Mikey has an awesome.
The package has to be awesome. Yeah. The person. Hey, it's a mediocre show.
Yeah. We
let Jim on the show.
We all know and love our shit back.
I mean, Quinn has sent us stuff. So,
I haven't said it yet, and I've been meaning to. The lower part of the sleeve, which I know is now old, but I knew you pre that.
Yeah.
It does look fucking awesome. It looks really good.
Shout out to Forsaken Ink.
Yeah, it's Ruffles. Fucking God, it healed so well too.
And so I go back under the knife end of May to finish the rest of it because John fucking both reminded me and shamed me into, he's like, you're gonna get the fucking shit that's gonna suck. I'm like, well, it all sucks.
Oh, in the ditch. The ditch. Yeah, the ditch is fun.
Yeah.
The ditch is fun.
We're gonna finish it out. But anyway, no, I think that every time I go someplace, they're like, well, I'm like, no, I'm just here to help.
Yeah.
And I smoke their cigars. And they just happen to be good.
Yeah. I'm a huge advocate for it. I don't know how many I've given out.
Well, Jim, I literally, the first day that I came to Texas, that I stopped anywhere in Texas, I met Jim. And we've been pretty much best friends.
Now we're going to be neighbors.
Since, and neighbors now, which is cool. So,
But I will say one thing about, this will be the only time I give the fucking kid credit. Quinn sent a package that one time.
Yeah.
With the patches.
Yeah.
You know, with the not just our EDC, like our freaking call sign patches, but also the what the hell was it called?
Sentinel patches.
Right? And I still, that sits on my jump helmet every jump I do. On there, right? And I've always appreciated that
call sign patches. So Quinn to my headliner.
Quinn.
So if you get in my car, it has my call sign stuck to my headliner.
Mine was. I think I lost my EDC patch. I think it got fucking
your call sign patch.
Yeah, it said EDC on it though.
Oh,
So Quinn, Mikey does not hate your patch, just you.
It's just the fucking all the fucking lame jokes, dude. You're just not funny. fuck, you're not funny. You're not original. You're not funny. You're fucking creepy.
You're Canadian.
You're Canadian as fuck. Like, goddamn, dude.
Fake wife.
Like your mail order wife that you try to pass off as like your chick. Like, I don't know if that's true or not. But like, yeah, dude, like, fuck. Like, I know you want to see my butthole, but you're just like, I understand now what a woman feels like when she walks by a construction site. Because it's the same thing I feel from you. You're fucking creepy. All
right. I think it's Canadians in general, they're so nice, but they're on my fucking.
I've seen his butthole. It's a butthole.
Yeah, it's run of the mill.
I've never cornholed a bleached. Canadian before, so.
Yeah.
Well, it's a maple hole.
That's a maple hole there.
Yeah. Just cornhole where you're from.
Cornhole in Nebraska, say?
Yeah.
Probably. Oh,
shit. All right.
Makes sense if you think about it.
It really does.
Cornholes and drunks.
And this is where the podcast goes straight downhill.
This has gone on long enough, anyway. Yeah. So I'm gonna raise my bottle here.
Your hoist?
My hoist.
I'm gonna hoist my hoist.
Hey. Cheers, boys. Cheers. Thanks for being my freedom friend.
Bruh.
Like, share, subscribe, smash those buttons, do all that stuff. Tell your mom.
Tell your fucking friends.
Mom.
And tell your fucking mom's friends. Mom. That's right.
I like it.
You had it. You were close.
You were close.
Whatever.
It's been a minute.
It's a mediocre show, and you know, this is what we do. But we appreciate you listening all the same. Three little things. They're not hard to do.
Fix it forward.
Well, four things this time, yeah.
Or send me the keystroke to turn the shit off.
Fucking A. It's not hard, though. Jim, why don't you hit him with the first one?
Smoke on.
Your favorite?
Ooh, drink on.
And goddamn it, kids.
Freedom the fuck on.
Later.